Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBT. I'm sorry, I mean our Monday Night Raw report, of course. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. For the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on the conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. An interesting show last night because it has really divided the wrestling fans, I noticed. I had people write to me telling me it was a horrible show. I had people write to me telling me it was a great show. Truth of the matter is, folks, it was neither. To be a horrible show, nothing on the show can be really any good. And that's not true. There were things on last night's show that were very good, extremely good. And to be a great show means there was nothing on the show that was horrible. And that's not true. There were a lot of horrible things on last night's show, a lot of them. So now we're stuck with, well, does the great parts of the show make up for the horrible parts of the show? Does the horrible parts of the show ruin the great parts of the show? And the answer is, to a certain extent, yes. But then it makes it a mediocre show. It makes it a middle-of-the-road show when you could have potentially had a great show. Now, this is a go-home show, so you are expecting a lot. And let me explain where my disappointment began. Becky Lynch comes out and probably rightfully says, how come I'm not in the Elimination Chamber? Won the cage match. Former champion. Certainly belong there more than a couple of people that's in there. Belongs in there more than Nikki Cross. So how come I'm not in? I think I should be in. Adam Pearce is standing in the ring like a mannequin from a men's dress shop. And then Bailey comes out and says, hold the phone. If anybody belongs in the Elimination Chamber, it's me. And they yak back and forth a little bit. And, of course, Bailey does not belong in the Elimination Chamber because she's won nothing. But she still actually belongs there more than Nikki Cross. So Adam Pearce says, well, I have an idea. We will put you two in the ring. But Bianca Belair comes out and says, if anybody wants a shot at me, they got to go through me. So Adam Pearce says, okay, I got an idea. Three-way dance. Becky Lynch wins, she's in. If Bailey wins, she's in. But if Bianca wins, neither one of you are in. And that will be our main event. Well, that's a fine main event with the exception of one thing. Are you going to tell me that you expect the fans to believe that you started a go-home Raw and you had no main event? So what you expect the fans to believe is, well, we're on the air with a go-home show to Saturday's Elimination Chamber, and Adam Pearce still hasn't figured out what the main event might be. He's just winging it. Oh, good, Becky Lynch came out and complained, and then Bailey came out and complained, and then Bianca came out. Good. The show is saved. I have a main event now. I hate when they do that. It's absurd. It's bad writing. Okay? That's bad writing. You never insult your reader, or you never insult your audience. If you write books, you don't insult your reader's intelligence. If you do TV shows, you don't insult your viewers' intelligence. That's insulting your viewers' intelligence. That's basically saying our go-home show, our Raw go-home show, has no main event, and we're on the air. So I don't know how anybody thinks that's great. That's lousy. That's terrible. That's lazy. It's lazy writing. It's just lazy. It's all around lazy. So Mike, they get out to a really bad start. That, in my opinion, that's one of my pet peeves about WWE. They do it all the time. And that is they act like they have no main event when they're on the air.
Right. And that's the thing. I mean, you can't really blame Triple H for this, but you can't really blame him because they've been doing this since before he took over, you know, booking and writing and stuff, right? So I mean, this has been the modus operandi of the WWE for years, not just months, years. I mean, we were complaining about how lazy Vince had gotten over the last few years because they continually did stuff like this, right?
Right. Now let me tell you how easily this is fixed, Mike. Let me tell you how easily this is fixed, and this is why I say it's lazy writing, and I challenge anybody to tell me it's not lazy writing. All you had to do was have Bailey come out and say, wait a minute. You got a big enough worry already. I've already asked for and received a rematch based on that ridiculous cage match we had that Lita interfered in. And tonight you and me are going one-on-one. And after I get done with you, you don't have to worry about the Elimination Chamber. And that way, when Bianca Belair came out and said, neither one of you have to worry about the Elimination Chamber, you're not going to get by me anyway, at least then Adam Pearce could have said, well, we had a main event scheduled. It was Bayley versus Becky Lynch in a rematch. But since you all want to do this, maybe I'll change the main event, and we'll have a three-way dance, and we'll have the stipulation. That's how easy it would have been to not insult your viewers. Yes, we had a main event, a rematch between Becky Lynch and Bayley. Now we're going to add stipulations because other things happened after we went on the air. That's not what you did. You said we have no main event. It's lucky Becky Lynch came out and complained. Otherwise, we'd have no main event tonight, folks. And all you people sitting in the audience would just have to stick your fingers up your ass, I guess. Terrible, terrible, lazy writing. When it's so easily fixed by doing exactly what I just said. So, Todd, they're not off to a good start here. That's just plain lazy.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, last night when Raw started, kicked it off with those three, were Adam Pearce, Becky Lynch, and Bayley. And looks, you notice with Adam Pearce, they're just standing there like he was confused or something, like he don't know what to do.
All Adam Pearce had to say is, "We have a main event already. You're already taking on Bayley." And Becky Lynch could have said, "And I want that match to be a qualifier. That's what I'm here to ask you. I already know that you have a main event schedule, me and Bayley. I get it. But now I want that to be a qualifier." Then when Bianca Belair came out, she could have been added to the mix and they could have had that special stipulation. That's how easy it's fixed. So don't tell me that's not lazy writing. Then we get to the first match of the night. And my brain is going to explode because it's literally a ridiculous match. The Judgment Day, meaning Finn Balor and Damian Priest, versus the Street Profits. Why? Montez Ford is in the Elimination Chamber. Damian Priest is in the Elimination Chamber. Finn Balor is not. And neither is Montez's partner, okay? So what you do is very simple. Montez Ford versus Damian Priest with the Judgment Day at ringside. Which obviously means that his partner is going to be at ringside to protect him too. Same exact outcome, same exact beatdown, same exact edge spot with his wife, same exact spot with Beth Phoenix. Everything else could have been exactly the same, but the match would have made sense Why is Montez Ford involving himself in a tag team match prior to an elimination chamber when there's no reason to? It should have been Montez Ford versus Damian Priest one-on-one with Balor and Dominic at ringside. That's all. And you could have had the exact same scenario, but it would have felt more important. Well, these two guys are in the elimination chamber together. This is going to be a precursor to the elimination chamber. Isn't this the go-home show? Isn't that what you want? Oh, we're getting a little warm-up to the elimination chamber. Nope. Couldn't think of that. That's too hard to think of. We need to have them all there. Well, they were still going to be all there. They were still going to be all there. You could have had the exact same outcome, but presented what would have looked like a much more important match. Damian Priest is in the Elimination Chamber. Finn Balor's not. So Priest going one-on-one with Montez feels like a much more important match than the Judgment Day versus Street Profits. So once again, I feel that's lazy writing, Mike.
That is lazy writing, but I also get the fact that they didn't want to give us the ending. And that's the ending that everybody wants is is Beth Phoenix giving the glam slam to,
Dominic.
That's the ending everybody wants. Now, they teased it. She had him up for it. But, again, you know that's coming, right? You know it's coming, right?
Yeah, and I'm not even too concerned about that because if you want to make people wait to the pay-per-view, I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that part. I'm not okay with that. There's no reason for the tag team match. There just isn't. There is a reason for Damian Priest and Montez Ford to go one-on-one. There is a reason why the Judgment Day would try to jump Montez Ford because he's in the Elimination Chamber. There is a reason why Edge would come down and try to help because they're going to be battling it out with the Judgment Day. So all that makes sense. What doesn't make sense is the matchup to begin with, when it could have easily been a one-on-one and you would have gotten to the same place. Talk about the Brock Lesnar signing. Let me get this straight. Brock Lesnar, for no good reason, has attacked Bobby Lashley not once, but twice. For no reason. Other than I'm a sore loser, and I can't take the fact that you won, and I can't take the fact that you eliminated me from the Royal Rumble, so I'm going to attack you during your matches for no reason. And he's the face. Once again, I ask you, is that good writing? Is that what you want your protagonist to be? Is your protagonist really the antagonist? Well, apparently so, because when Bobby Lashley comes out, he's in full heel mode. Why is Bobby Lashley the heel? Can you explain to me why Bobby Lashley's the heel in this situation? The man was attacked twice for no good reason. And suddenly he's back to the old Bobby Lashley. No, I'm going to do things on my terms, and I'm coming out with my own private security. And are you kidding? What the hell happened? The story you were telling is that Brock Lesnar was the heel, and Bobby Lashley, for no good reason, was attacked, and he's going to try to get his ultimate revenge on Brock Lesnar. No, not now. Now the story is Brock Lesnar is the face, and Bobby Lashley is the cowardly heel who did what wrong? What did Bobby Lashley do wrong? He was in wrestling matches, minding his own business, and for absolutely no reason, Brock Lesnar interfered in those matches. Is Sami Zayn going into the Elimination Chamber the heel? Because he broke up the bloodline? Oh, boo, Sami, yeah, he broke up the bloodline. No, of course he's not. Then why is Brock Lesnar the face? Doesn't make any sense, Mike.
It doesn't make any sense, but I did like how that thing played out, though, because that was a smart that was a smart thing to do, having Bobby Lashley come out there, set up the table in the little chair, whatever deal, with all the security and all that stuff, because you knew what was going to happen if he gets in the ring. Oh, yeah, he's going to sign the contract, which he ended up doing anyway, but you knew that there was going to be another attack by Brock Lesnar, right? You knew that was coming. So that kind of subverted your expectations, because that was kind of a smart move, because that gives...
But it's a cowardly move, okay? If wait a minute, though, because we're going to disagree on this, I think. How is that a smart move? If you're supposed to be the face, is that what Stone Cold Steve Austin would have done? If the bad guy was in the ring saying, come sign the contract, would Austin have come out with private security and say, I ain't coming anywhere near that ring? I'm staying a distance from you because I'm smart. Would that, is that what Steve Austin would have done? Or would Steve Austin have charged that ring? Because he's supposed to be the face. He's supposed to be brave. He's not supposed to be afraid. Bobby Lashley is supposed to be the face. I don't know how he's the heel. But that's what a heel does. That's what The Miz does. I'm not getting in the ring. I'm too smart for that. I got my own private security. And they're going to stop you from getting to me if you try to get to me, because I don't want any part of you. Now, I know they're trying to say, well, he kind of set him up. He knew Brock Lesnar would come for him, and the distraction with the security would be enough for him to get the punch in. Yeah, that's what a heel does. That's exactly what a heel does, Mike. So, again, you're right. It's a great move if you're a heel, but why is Bobby Lashley a heel?
I don't know, but obviously, I mean, if they're going to put these people back together, obviously they're going to put the back together heel hurt business, right? That's the only thing I can see them why they're playing him as a heel is that when they put the hurt business back together, they're going to be heels.
Okay, then he should not have turned down MVP's offer when MVP said, I can help you. He should have said, let's do it then. He didn't. He did the face thing and said, I don't need anybody. I'm going to do this on my own. You and me, you know, we're still cool, but I don't play those games anymore. Really? Well, you just did. You just did. Now let's get to a part of the show that did not suck. We had Sami Zayn come in the ring, surprise everyone by coming into the ring and basically saying he wanted to talk to Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes came out. This is a brilliant move on the WWE's part, and I will tell you why it's a brilliant move, and I'll tell you why this is good writing. You had yourself a problem. The majority of fans really honestly want to see Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. They want Sami Zayn to win. Cody Rhodes is the speed bump. He's the, oh, naturally, you took Cody over Sammy. Naturally, Cody's going to get all the perks. So you had to do something to get Sammy and Cody together and lessen any possible backlash on Cody that could occur before WrestleMania. And the way you did that was to have Sami Zayn literally ask Cody, do you honestly think I can win? To which Cody says, you know, if you don't think you can, you really need to change your attitude. That was a very, very good thing because it made Cody appear as though he was on the side of Sami Zayn. I'd much rather fight you at WrestleMania. I think you're a more deserving champion. You're right in the things you say, that he always manages to find a way to win because of the bloodline. But this time, the bloodline isn't 100% on his side. You've managed to put a crack in that armor. You did that. And he's probably at his weakest moment right now. And that's why you should be confident. That's brilliant writing. This is why I get upset with the WWE. Because if you can write like that, don't you? Why do you write lazy for most of the whole episode and then come up with something great for this? If you're just a lousy writer and everything you do sucks, and it's lazy, and it doesn't make any sense, and there's plot holes that you could drive a Mack truck through, okay, well, then that's just who you are. But when you show brilliance, when you show this kind of writing where you say, this is top of the shelf, then I'm not going to accept bottom of the shelf from the same damn show. Why should I? Everything about this hit the mark. Everything about this was correct. And it's now got fans anticipating maybe there's going to be a three-way dance. Maybe we're going to get some kind of goofball ending at the Elimination Chamber in which there's going to be Sammy's going to be added to WrestleMania. Could happen. Could happen. But the way you set the trap for that, or you set the bait for that, is by mixing Cody with Sammy. So you say, well, they are doing Cody versus Sammy kind of build up too, just in case. Because if you didn't do any Cody versus Sammy build up, then you know damn well Sammy's not going to WrestleMania to be in any match for the Universal Championship. But if you do a little bit of storyline with Cody and Sammy, fans start to think, well, there's a possibility. Why would they be doing the storyline? Why would they even care to put those two in the ring together and have a segment? That's good writing. That's compelling writing. But I don't want to eat at a restaurant where the soup is good and the entree is lousy. I'm not going to say it's a great restaurant because the soup was good. Well, so far, this is the only good thing on the show. But, Todd, it was very, very good. This was a very strong segment and one of the better ones WWE's done in a while.
Oh, yeah, absolutely right there. Like you said, last night with Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn did that promo. That's one of the best promos I haven't seen in a long, long time. Like you said, it was pretty strong. I kind of like what Cody said. I don't want to see you here next week. I want to see you at WrestleMania. It's the next time I want to see you at.
Right, and that's exactly the buildup, is that Cody Rhodes is trying to give Sami Zayn the confidence he needs to take it to the next level and upset Roman Reigns at the Elimination Chamber. That's very good writing. That makes Cody a very sympathetic character and a popular character, saying, well, he's not shitting on Sammy. He didn't come out and say, Sammy, I really hope you do win, because I think you'll be much easier to beat at WrestleMania. He didn't do any of that. He didn't say, I hope you win because I hate you and I'm going to beat your ass at WrestleMania. He didn't do that. What he did say was, I think you have the ability to win and I want you to win because I think we'd be a great match at WrestleMania. So that helps him with the fans. So there's not going to be as much backlash. And you've made an opening. You put a branch on the tree, Mike, for there to be a possible Sami Zayn Cody Rhodes match.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And look, I mean, as much as we like Cody Rhodes, you put Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn in the same ring together, people aren't going to say, well, he's not winning, right? Because, I mean, Cody is obviously considered a better wrestler in his career right now, but Yeah, and it's not like him going against, he's going to go against Roman Reigns by himself. Well, he's not winning. You're not going to beat Roman. You're not Sami Zayn, and you're not going to beat Roman Reigns by yourself, right? Because that's
right.
Not how they've been booking it. So,
correct.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to say this. We did speculate that the Usos were not going to be allowed in Canada. I found out this morning the Usos were cleared, and supposedly they will be in Canada. So the WWE did work their magic, and the Usos will be allowed in Canada. My prediction is both of them will be there. Anyway, Piper Niven versus Mia Yim. Why? That's all I got to say is why. It was a squash match, pretty much. Mia Yim is done. I warned everybody, and people snickered at me and said, they're not going to do that. I said, when AJ Styles is hurt, you can forget the goddamn OC. You can forget Mia Yim. Where's the OC? Have you seen him? Have you seen him since AJ went down? What's happened with Mia Yim since AJ went down? Lose, lose, lose. Okay? So I nailed that one. Told you that was going to happen, and it did. So Piper Niven gets the win. The audience couldn't care less. You could have heard a pin drop. Literally could have heard a pin drop. We then get a backstage segment with Baron Corbin, who got interrupted during the Sami Zayn thing, and they're still making him a heel, which is a mistake. Now, they'll probably flip him face anyway. They're just letting him hit rock bottom first. But right now, he's same old Baron Corbin saying, I don't know why Cody Rhodes sucks, and his father sucks, and his brother sucks, and his dog sucks, and then Cody Rhodes attacks him. And Cody Rhodes, in his suit, basically just squashes Baron Corbin. In his suit. Okay. And we needed to see that. Why exactly? For Baron Corbin to hit rock bottom so we can get a better storyline in there somewhere, I guess. But I don't think it did anything for Cody Rhodes. It wasn't exactly like it was a match. It was just a squash. And it was another unplanned thing. So on this show, you're going to tell me that you had three matches planned. You had no main event whatsoever planned. You had no plans for Cody Rhodes to wrestle. That was just a last-minute decision. Once again, how does that make sense? How is that good writing? Not. You see, when you're trying to formulate a story, you can't have your character do something that's totally, completely, ridiculously out of character, or you can't have a swerve in the plot that's like, well, we don't believe that. So what you're trying to tell every person in that audience who bought a ticket is, you bought a ticket to see a show where we didn't have any matches planned. We had a couple. And then we were just hoping people would come out and challenge each other. Otherwise, I guess you guys are going home early, and I guess the show's only going to be 2 hours instead of three. It doesn't pass the laugh test. It's terrible writing. Simple as that. So, I mean, Cody squashes him. I guess we're going to see Baron Corbin do his complete collapse before he gets his build up. I mean, there's not much to talk about there. I'm not even going to bother with it. We get Rick Boogs and Elias backstage, and Elias is saying, well, maybe if you come out, and well, we'll talk about that when we get to the Miz TV thing. I guess we might as well get to the Miz TV thing now, because here we go, back down the old ladder again. After the Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn thing, I'm like, this was great. So now we have went back to the shitter twice. And I say, okay, this is going to be good, because if Seth Rollins comes out and gives us a legitimate reason why he and Logan Paul don't see eye to eye, I'll be happy. There was no legitimate reason. And the reason there's no legitimate reason is because the reason he gave makes no sense. If Logan Paul was only in it because he wanted to be famous and the money and all that kind of stuff, number one, The Miz is the one who brought him there. And then The Miz turned on him. That was never mentioned. The Miz could have said, look, I'm the guy that brought him in here. And I thought the same thing you thought, and that's why I turned my back on him. That's why I beat his ass. But I don't know. The kid's got more than you think. No, because they want Logan Paul to be the heel. I don't know why. He wasn't the heel when he left. He was the brave guy who went to Saudi Arabia and took on the Universal Champion and almost won. With Roman Reigns himself acknowledging Logan Paul by turning to Paul Heyman in the walkway, going back, saying, looking incredulously at Logan Paul, saying, I don't ever want to see that guy again. I don't ever want to see that guy again. Meaning, Paul, that guy was way tougher than I thought. He's a legit badass. I was lucky to get out of there with my title. I ain't fighting him no more. Only for Seth Rollins to come around and say, oh, he's nothing. He doesn't have any chops. He's He's not a wrestler. Well, I don't know. He almost beat Roman Reigns. So how is Seth Rollins, who's supposed to be the architect, supposed to be a real cerebral guy, and you as a writer have Seth Rollins say he doesn't belong in the ring when he almost beat Roman Reigns? Now, you could do that if Seth Rollins was a heel. You could have Seth Rollins say, I don't care. He doesn't believe he couldn't carry my jockstrap. I get that. But Seth Rollins isn't a heel. So I'm not 100% sure why Seth Rollins doesn't think Logan Paul belongs in the ring when he damn near dethroned Roman Reigns, who Seth Rollins has not come close to dethroning. Later on, he's attacked by Austin Theory. Seth Rollins leaves The Miz laying with the curb stomp, but Austin Theory ends up standing tall by beating the hell out of Seth Rollins. And then Rick Boogs backstage with Elias. And you know there's going to be either a tag team or a feud there, and I think probably it's going to be all pumped up for his match. What match? The Miz has just been squashed. So he comes out in a 30-second match or whatever the hell it is. That's not a match. It's a squash match. So now how many squash matches have you had on this show? Piper Niven versus Mia Yim squash match. Cody Rhodes versus Baron Corbin squash match. Now you're going to have this one. Rick Boogs and The Miz squash match. If I paid $100 to be at Raw, I'd be like, are we going to see an actual match? Is there actually going to be a competitive match tonight or what? So I don't know. I mean, look, Rick Boogs is showing some signs of having some charisma and things, and I think it could be an interesting feud with Elias or even a tag team with Elias. But, I mean, was it necessary to have The Miz basically unconscious? How does that help Rick Boogs? How does it make Rick Boogs look like, well, I'm a really tough wrestler? You beat up a guy who was already beaten up.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, yeah, in that squash, you got Rick Boogs showing off his power, and basically Rick Boogs is nothing. Well, I mean he's looking more and more like the Ultimate Warrior as the day, except for the no face paint and no long hair, but that could be remedied. But this is a guy that's basically a power wrestler, right? Is Rick Boogs. And yeah, he would be that would be. I'd like to see that tag team, you know, call them the Music Men, whatever the hell you want to call them, and you know, have them go around doing what they do. You know, I don't mind the feud, but I'd like to see the tag team with him and Elias.
I'm okay with either one. I just don't understand how people think that this is helping Rick Boogs. It's not like you took on The Miz and won in a fair manner. You took on a beaten guy. If that's a heel move. That's another heel move. Oh, the guy's already been beat. Let me go pick the bones. I don't get it. You want to promote Rick Boogs, then have him beat a 100% healthy Miz. I got no problem with that if he does that. I have a problem with this. Because it doesn't help. Again, it's bad writing. What you want your hero to do? You're writing a story, and your hero is going up against a nefarious force who already got his ass beat. And then the hero says, oh, your ass is already beat? Good, I'm beat it more. I'm great, I beat you. Is that good writing if you're trying to make a protagonist? I don't think so. I think that's terrible writing. I've never seen a movie do that. I've never read a book where the hero did that. So, I don't know. I don't know who's writing this. But it's not good. We then have Carmella, Nikki Cross, and Asuka against Liv Morgan, Natalya, and Raquel Rodriguez, which is Raw versus SmackDown, obviously in a six-woman tag match. This makes sense because they're all going to be in the Elimination Chamber together. I don't have a problem with this match. Everything was all right. Everything was fine. This is the type of thing you expect to see on a go-home show. So this is fine. This is what I mean, though. It's so inconsistent. And again, oftentimes I compare wrestling to a restaurant. But if you're at a restaurant and the first thing you eat is good and the second thing you eat is terrible and the third thing you eat is great and the fourth thing you eat is terrible, at what point do you say, this is too inconsistent for me? I don't know if I want to come back here because at any given time, you know, okay, I'm enjoying my this part of the meal, and then the potatoes are horrible, the vegetables good, the meat's fair, the entree was delicious, the dessert's awful. Okay, well, then what are you going to do? Because unlike a restaurant, you can't place your order. You got to watch what they give you. So at least this was okay, Todd. I thought everybody did a pretty good job. There are people in this elimination chamber I don't think belong in the elimination chamber, but at least they promoted it well.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the people in the elimination chamber did a pretty good job last night. And like you said, I got to agree with you on this one.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this. This is what I expect from a go-home show. Build up to make me want to see the Elimination Chamber even more, and some things that connect. The Cody Rhodes, Sami Zayn interview did it. This match did it. That's about it so far, though, Mike.
That's about it so far, and I do like. I mean, look, this whole thing about why did Asuka attack her own partners and stuff. No, that's a logical thing because you know that this weekend they're gonna be every woman for herself, right? So that spot made sense. You know, that spot made sense, and at least with Asuka, you know she belongs there. And obviously they're gonna try and do something with this whole character that she's playing now with her comic book character from Japan or whatever it is, even though not a lot of probably American fans know about it, you know?
Yeah, and listen, it made perfect sense. You're right. It's every woman for herself. Of course she's going to do that. Why not? Does that make her a heel? Not necessarily. I mean, I think she's going to be sort of a tweener anyway, but, I mean, it just makes her whatever, you know? It's going to be every woman for herself, so why do you have any loyalty to anybody? They're not your partner. It's not going to be your permanent partner. They're just your partner for one night. Now, as far as the Chelsea Green thing is concerned, I have to say that I'm starting to like it a little bit. She does a good job. I'll give her that. She does a good job of doing that Karen ridiculous, complaints about everything. It's somewhat amusing. But the highlight of the night for me, after Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn, the highlight for me was Maximum Male Models and the Alpha Academy. Chad Gable taking a hot dog and throwing it away because it's not good for Otis, and having it hit Munster in the face was very funny. His reaction was very funny. The visual was very funny. Otis's face was very funny. Otis has a natural charisma that if they don't start to exploit this immediately, they're just idiots. Everything he does is entertaining. His facial expressions, his mannerisms, his body language, the things he says. Nobody's writing too much of this for him. You can tell because some of the things he says are just weird, but it works for him. And I thought it was especially hilarious they're looking for a plus-size model. This could be a very good storyline. Now, this is the things I like when the WWE does. Is this going to be a top storyline that's going to make us chew our fingernails off and can't wait for next week? No. But it's a great story for an undercard. That's what they need to do more of. Create decent stories for the undercard. So it's not just Piper Niven is fighting Mia Yim for no reason, whatever, who cares. It would be great if you got some storylines like this. We're obviously getting a storyline out of this. And I think you've got the right characters, and I'll tell you something else that I did not expect. I expected a great performance from Otis. I expected a great performance from Chad Gable, who's very good on the mic. I did not expect Mansoor. He's getting a lot better. Now, you can laugh at this Maximum Male Models thing all you want, but if it does nothing else except give him the experience to play a character and learn how to roll with the punches and express and use the mic and all that, then it's successful, even if it only lasts a little while. It's going to give him valuable, valuable experience at this. And he went from a dude who was boring, hard to root for, and vanilla plain, to honestly making me laugh out loud when he screamed in horror when the mustard hit his glasses. It's so funny because how much mustard could be on a hot dog? All that was on the glasses was solid mustard. There was no ketchup. There was no nothing else. It was just mustard. He surprised me. You know what? Maybe the Maximum Male Model thing's been good for him, Mike, because this was probably his best performance.
Let's look at him versus his ex-partner and what's going on with those two guys. He's learning. He's getting better while his ex-partner is stuck in a rut, basically.
Yep.
And that's no joke. And as far as – and you know who else came off? What's the lady that's with the Maximum Male Models? She came off one of the best lines. Instead of Otis, it's Otis.
Otis. Yeah. And then Otis literally says Otis. His facial expressions, Otis's facial expressions and his body language, incredible. Now, I don't know if he took any acting lessons in his life. I don't know, what his background is. But if he did not, he is literally born to do this because he has that intangible whatever that makes whatever he does extremely watchable. I'm telling you, he can be a blue chipper. He's not going to give you it doesn't matter. The fans love him. And if you give back the face Otis, you may reap some rewards out of that. I thought he did an excellent job in this skit, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said last night, with Otis, Chad Gable, and the Maximum Models people, when he did to the hot dog, what Chad Gable just grabbed the thing out of this, this is not good for you. And then I kind of laugh at that when he got hit in the face with a hot dog with the mustard on it too. And
it was excellent. That's an excellent skit. They did a very good job. Everyone did a very good job. It's not going to be a top angle. It's not going to be a top storyline. It doesn't have to be. It's enough to get these guys on camera. It's enough to give them some screen time and some ring time. And I think we're all going to enjoy it. So I thought this was one of the highlights for me. Bronson Reed versus Mustafa Ali. Now, Bronson Reed, this is the interesting thing. Bronson Reed goes by and stares down Otis for a second and then laughs at him. Think you're going to have something going on there eventually. They're just teasing. You're going to have to get through this whole Maximum Male Models thing first. But I think you may have an Otis Bronson Reed thing coming your way at some point. Bronson Reed then goes out and just squashes Mustafa Ali. Yeah, Mustafa Ali got in three or four shots. It's still a squash match. And once again, I'm saying to myself, if I'm sitting in this audience, I'm not seeing a lot of the backstage stuff unless I'm watching the monitor. Maybe they're showing it there or whatever. What am I seeing? I'm seeing mostly squash matches. Once again, another squash match. Yes. Bronson Reed is very, very impressive. But it's still, it's a squash match. And Bronson Reed would have been better suited maybe if he interrupted the Miz TV segment instead of Austin Theory. Why is Austin Theory so worried about Seth Rollins when he has other people who could win? Maybe Bronson Reed would have been the one to say, well, Rollins is the only other threat in here. I take him out, then the rest of them should be easy. No, they let him fight Mustafa Ali because that's important. We already did Rick Boogs versus The Miz, and then we get Bianca Belair, who wins the And so neither Becky nor Bailey are going to the Elimination Chamber. Meaning basically the main event meant nothing. A zero. Nothing. So this is where we stand, and this is why I'm trying to tell both sides of the story. For the people who say the show was horrible, you're right. It had horrible spots in it. Some very horrible spots. Plot lines you could drive a Mack truck through. Nonsensical way they go about things, trying to make fans believe we had no main event. We don't even have too many matches scheduled. Ridiculous. Matches nobody cared about. Squash matches when people paid big money to be in the arena to see some competitive ones. Matches that could have easily been fixed to be much, much, much more important, even if they had the same outcome. Lazy writing. But then on the same show, you had a brilliant segment with Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn, which was magnificent writing. You had a decent women's six-way match. And you had a really good spot with the Maximum Male Models and Alpha Academy. And I come away saying, well, if this wasn't a go-home show, if this was just a normal Raw, and we had a couple of weeks left for the Elimination Chamber, I'd say this was a fairly good show, probably a C+, B-. But it's not. It's the go-home show. And you have to hold that to a higher standard. And the only thing that made this want me to watch the Elimination Chamber on Saturday more was the Cody Rhodes spot, which I thought was excellent, and the women's six-way match, which I thought was decent. Aside from that, none of it mattered. None of it really mattered. I know people are going to say, well, what about Edge and Beth Phoenix? Look, when you do an interview and you literally say, we've kicked your ass every single time and we're going to kick your ass again, Finn Balor may as well have held up a sign saying we're losing on Saturday. Never do those type of interviews. Because you give away the ending. Edge is not losing. Beth Phoenix is not winning. Beth Phoenix is not pinning Rhea Ripley. Because Rhea Ripley is going to WrestleMania and she's not getting pinned. So Finn is taking the loss. Quite obviously. And that'll probably lead to Finn Balor doing his demon thing against Edge doing his brood thing at WrestleMania for one final showdown. That's probably what that's going to be. But you gave away this. Plus, you've been teasing for a few weeks something between Dolph Ziggler and Mustafa Ali. Why was there no Dolph Ziggler there saying, hey, I thought you never got any chances. I thought you never got any breaks. Here's your big break, kid. You're not in the Elimination Chamber. Bronson Reed is. You pin him tonight. You're going to make a big name for yourself. So don't say you never got any chances. Stop your whining and put up a shut up. How come he didn't do that and further that storyline? If you got that storyline going, why didn't you keep it going? Lazy writing. So when something is this inconsistent, when it goes from horrible to brilliant, back to horrible to very good, that I call that inconsistent. Inconsistent is not great. But for the people who said this show was great, I'm glad you enjoyed it. And you're entitled to your opinion. I'm telling you, for me, inconsistency is not great. And that's what this show was, inconsistent. For the people who said this show was horrible, well, I enjoyed several segments on this show. So it can't be horrible if there's good segments. A horrible show has no good segments, no redeeming value whatsoever. You can't tell me there's no redeeming value on last night's show if you watched the Cody Rhodes, Seth Rollins thing. And even if you didn't like the women's match, that alone stops the show from being horrible. That alone does. But I know where people are coming from. Sammy and Cody was great, so the show was great. Okay. Well, I disagree. You can have a great segment and not a great show. You can have a great chapter in your book, the rest can suck. Doesn't make you a great writer, makes you an inconsistent writer. I also disagree that it was not horrible. Horrible means that you don't have the ability to write anything decent or put anything good on the show. There was good things on the show. Couple of good things. I'm kind of interested in the Otis and the Maximum Male models. Obviously, I thought it was great what Cody did with Sammy. The women's match was interesting with Asuka turning on her partners at the end and things, kind of interesting. And I'm even a little bit interested in what they're going to do with Rick Boogs from here. Obviously, something with Elias. I'm leaning toward they're going to have a feud, but they could potentially have a tag team first. So, yeah, there are things on here that I enjoyed. But it was horribly inconsistent. And for a go-home show, only one or two segments making you really want to watch that show on Saturday more leads me to say it was pretty much slightly below average. So I'm going to give it a C-minus, Mike. I think it was – if it wasn't a go-home show, I would have said it was average. But for a go-home show, it's got to go down a half grade. So I'm going to go C-minus.
Right. I cannot – you know, horrible denotes D plus or lower. You know, great, you know, denotes B minus or higher. All right. So I cannot go great and I cannot go horrible. So again, C minus is my grade. And yeah, I cannot wait to see what happens with Rick Boogs and Elias. And hey, if this whole Otis thing leads to him getting a good face singles push, hey, maybe it also might lead to Chad Gable getting a new number one guy and continuing
right.
the Alpha Academy just with a different person.
Yeah, you know, at some point, I do like them as a team, but I'm thinking to myself, if there is a breakup, it might not be the worst thing for both people's career. Chad Gable is an excellent wrestler, and he's very good on the mic, and he's never really been given anything super decent to do. This character is actually pretty good compared to his Shorty Gable character. Remember that? But even back then, Mike, if you remember, we were saying the look on his face sometimes when people were making the Shorty Gable comment or how short he was pretty good. We knew back then he was good. And he's proven it. Once again, he's a character type person. You can give him a character, he'll play it well. Otis can probably just play that, but that's good enough because that's really funny and somehow very compelling to watch. So I'm very interested in that. I'm interested in what they're going to do with Asuka. I have this feeling that Asuka is going to get a huge, huge push. So I'm very interested in that. I'm interested in seeing what happens with Elias and Rick Boogs. Obviously, I'm very interested in what happens with Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn and obviously Roman Reigns. We'll get into that on Friday because I got a feeling that the WWE might be tempted to call an audible. Crowd was really, really big on seeing Sami Zayn in the main event of WrestleMania. And even if there was no plans, zero, to have him there, you could work out a scenario by which a three-way dance is a possibility. And I think the fans would go nuts because they'd be like, well, Cody's determined to win, but he likes Sami Zayn. Sami likes Cody. He gave him the confidence to go into Elimination Chamber, but Sami wants to be the champion. Roman hates them both. There's a dynamic there. It would be a very, very strong audible if they did that. Now, it would leave Kevin Owens out in the cold, and I'm not sure who the Usos would go against, but you could work that out. So it makes me believe there's at least a small chance that something like that might actually happen. That's why it makes me want to watch the Elimination Chamber even more, because now I'm not so sure. Up until last night, I would have bet you my house that one of two things is happening. Either Sami Zayn is losing clean after giving a brave fight to get the heat on Roman Reigns, or Jey Uso's turning on him and costing him the match. And that's how they're going to get the KO and Sami versus the Usos. Now I'm not 100% sure, because I'm thinking to myself, after that crowd explosion last night at the thought of Sami Zayn going to WrestleMania, WWE might rethink it. They just might. So, Mike, that's what makes this fascinating. And that's the reason I say that segment did the most for me as far as making me want to watch Saturday.
Right, and that's the thing. And I also want to see, at least down the line, what happens once they get past this whole Maximum Male Models thing with Otis, because I do agree with you. You could be very well be headed toward an Otis versus what's his name?
Bronson Reed, yeah.
Bronson Reed feud, because those are two young, big, strong guys that can move. All right, and that's interesting to me. They don't have.
It would definitely be like the Battle of the Monsters, no question. Todd, what's your rating this week?
C-. I'm going to give it that as well.
C-minus all around, folks. Here's the thing. If you say it was horrible, I'm sorry you hated it. But, come on. You're going to tell me you can't find one or two things in that show you liked? If you're telling me it's great, I'm glad you liked it. But, come on. You're going to tell me there's not some obvious problems with that show? Some obvious, glaring errors in the writing? Not true. Just not true. Anyway, folks, we will be back here on Friday with our Elimination Chamber predictions. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestling Chat Radio is a Savage Blade production.